Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the new Tanya class, which has been reassigned to Sunday mornings. So everything is bashgacha, everything is by divine providence. And this that we are starting the Tanya now on Sunday, Parshas Lech Lecha, must be for a purpose. And the thought that occurred to me was that Lech Lecha was a commandment that Hashem commanded Avram Avinu to go on a journey. Lech Lecha me'artzecha, go out of your land, me'ladetcha, from your birthplace, la'aretz asher areka, to the land that I will show you. And we know that the calling that Hashem called to Avram Avinu is really a calling to every person. It's a calling to the soul. What is the inner content of the journey of Lech Lecha? What is the inner meaning of that command? Avram our father, mystically, his soul, the origins of his soul, is from a very, very, I can imagine, he's the soul of all souls, the first Jew. So his neshama is from a very, very, very exalted and high place, hinted to in his name. His name is Avram. Av is father, Ram is exalted. So if you put the two together, it means exalted father. And we know that spiritually, the level of father is symbolic or relates, connected to the attribute called Chachma, the attribute of wisdom. Wisdom is called father. We're going to see in Tanya, as we learn, that the intellectual faculties are called parents to the emotional faculties, both in the soul by us, and also in the godly realms. The intellectual sephiros are called parents, and the emotional attributes, being that they are the offspring, they are the derivatives from the intelligence, they are called children. Within parents, there's father and mother. So we know that there are two primary faculties of the mind. One is the power of conception, which is the power of wisdom, the power of chachma, and one is the power of understanding, of fully developing an idea, fully fleshing the idea out with all of its details. It's called Bina. Now, Chachma is a higher state of Bina. It's the first flash of an idea. That's the Chachma. It's the pristine state of intelligence, its highest stage. It's the point where the intelligence emerges from the superconscious. It's like the point of a revelation. That's why it's only a point. It's also indicated in the God's name, in the Yud of Hashem's name, is Yud Kei Vav Kei. So the Yud represents that sublime level of godliness that is higher than any understanding, higher of any grasping, just a point. So that's called Father, Av. Now, Avram's name is not just Av, his name is Avram, which indicates exalted Av, which means within the level of wisdom itself, we're speaking about the wisdom in its most sublime hidden state, Ram hidden. So Avram had all this, his neshama came from a place of such incredible inner godliness, the Eberster's light, God's light, as it is still in the potential of potential of potential, in its most abstract state. The commandment of Lech Lecha was Hashem was commanding Avram, this exalted level of Avram, to reveal itself into the world. It should come down, because in the state of Avram, it's hidden even from the mystical, even hidden from the souls in Gan Eden, even from the highest, highest sublime beings, have no relationship. It's even hidden from the world of Atzilus, which, as we know, is the highest, it's a world of godliness. It's even hidden from there. Inyan of Avram, Lech Lecha, was go and reveal yourself into creation. Bring light and first into the higher realms, and then lower. As it says in the Medrash, that till Avram there was darkness. And when Avram came, hischil leheir, godliness began to reveal itself in the creation. And the ultimate purpose is that Avram should reveal himself down here in this world. And that's what he did. His great wisdom, his great knowledge of God, he began to share with people. And he shared it even with Arabs who bow down to the dust of their feet, even to the lowest of the low. And that's the ultimate purpose of the creation, is that kulam yadu oisi, that everybody should know me. Everybody should know me. Even the lowest, even those that are the most far and removed and distant and coarsest elements within creation, they too should have a very intimate knowledge, a very deep knowledge in the Eibishter, and not only in the godly revelations, but in Hashem's very self. The impossible to bring the two together. And that is, as he explains in Tanya, is the entire purpose of creation. That Hashem should have a dwelling in this world. A dwelling place means your own home. A home is a place where a person reveals himself completely. You are as you are. You're not pretending. When you go out of your home, you're putting up a certain act. You adjust. You reveal yourself only in a certain way. You're not comfortable to be yourself. In your home, you are yourself. Hashem wants that in the lowest, lowest realms, he should reveal himself as he is. The one who began that was Avram. That he began the process of making God known in this world and preparing the world for the great revelation that's going to be in the days of Mashiach. So what does this all have to do with beginning a Tanya class on the first day of Lech Lecha? So here's a very interesting thing. We know that Tanya is the most comprehensive work come to reveal the Torah HaBaal Shem Tov, coming to reveal to the world the teachings of the Baal Shem Tov. Now, just to be sure, Tanya was not the first Hasidic work to be printed, and it's not the only Hasidic book or the Hasidic writings. There's hundreds and hundreds, perhaps thousands and thousands of various different Hasidic literature and books that are written on Chassidus, and they're all holy, and they're all coming from the same Mayon. They're all deriving their energy and their insight and their ideas from the same well, the spring of the holy Baal Shem Tov. However, the unique Tanya is very unique. The uniqueness of the book of Tanya is that it is comprehensive, and that is that it takes the teachings of the Baal Shem Tov and it presents it in a systematic way, in a way that relates to the entire human being, in a way that it opens up the pathway to serving Hashem as a chassid. Meaning to say that most of the other Hasidic writings were written as insights of inspiration on the Parsha of the week. Right? There were teachings and writings where various different Rabbeim would sit with their Hasidim and they would reveal various inner Kabbalistic insights and insights of the Baal Shem Tov and so forth. But they were all said in a way of like one thought over here and a thought over there. Person really has to be very, very, very knowledgeable to be able to take all these various different things and turn it into a way of life, an entire process, a way of living as guidance for their life. Tanya was written in a way, it's not on the parsha, its whole idea is to enable us to experience the soul, to open up, because we know that the Torah has a body and it has a soul. And the Inyan of Chassidus, the Inyan of the Baal Shem Tov, is he came to the world to reveal Pnimius HaTorah. And the Pnimius HaTorah is the soul of the Torah. And what that is supposed to do to us, it is supposed to put us in connection with our neshama. It's supposed to reveal our own soul. So it takes Avodas Hashem, serving God to a whole new level. Because it's not just, you know, inspiring, insightful, giving us etzos meaning advice, and how to overcome this, and how to overcome that. It takes it to a whole new level. Because it goes beyond human intelligence. It brings out the godliness of the person. We all, as we learn in Tanya, we discover that we have a godly soul. And when we reveal the godly soul, our entire approach to Hashem is different. Because we're not operating from our animal self or even our human self. We operate from our godly self. We think through our godly soul, and our emotions and feelings are our godly emotions. So it opens up the neshama. So the most comprehensive book on that is the book of Tanya. So Tanya is here to reveal the teachings of the Baal Shem Tov. Good. So now, what does the Baal Shem Tov have with Avram Avinu? So here's a very interesting idea which I've seen. And that is that we know that the Baal Shem Tov studied with a teacher called Achia HaShiloini. He was the teacher of the Baal Shem Tov. Achia HaShiloini, this is brought down in the works of all Hasidim, in the works of the Toldos Yaakov Yosef. He writes, recall where it is, but in Toldos, which is the first Hasidic sefer to be printed, so there he writes that Achi HaShiloini, who was the Rebbe of Eliyahu HaNavi, and who was also the teacher of my master, of the Holy Baal Shem Tov. So this is, we have the Kabbalah, that the Baal Shem Tov studied with a neshama from another world, and that was the neshama of Achi HaShiloini. Now who is Achi HaShiloini? Achi HaShiloini lived, was one of the people who left, he was the generation that left Mitzrayim. Doesn't say exactly how old he was when he left in Mitzrayim, but he says witnessed six generations that he saw. He was, because he lived a very long life. He lived to be over 500 years old, brought down in Seder Hadoros, the life of Achia HaShiloini, more than 500 years. He saw Amram, the father of Moshe, and then Moshe Rabbeinu, and then Yeshua, and then Pinchas, and Eli, and David HaMelech. He was in the generation, he was in the Beis Din of David. David HaMelech, we remember the Sanhedrin that was in David HaMelech's days. He was from the elders of the Beis Din of David HaMelech. You can understand. If he was there, went out of Mitzrayim, he stood by Har Sinai, physically, heard the Torah giving. That's when he witnessed firsthand the revelation of Pnimius HaTorah. Because Matan Torah was not just a place where Hashem revealed the laws of the Torah. God himself revealed himself. And that's what Pnimius HaTorah is. The revelation of the godliness of Torah. So he had firsthand experience of the revelation of Anochi Hashem Elokecha, I am God, your God, the Maaser Merkava, the chariot, and all that he saw it with his own eyes. And then he was the Rebbe of Eliyahu HaNavi. Okay, he taught Eliyahu HaNavi. So he must have been quite a person. Achia HaShiloini. Now, what is not that known is that in Seder Hadoros, he must bring from the Arizal, that Achia HaShiloini was a Gilgal of Avram Avinu. Okay, so that puts it in a whole different perspective. He was a reincarnation of Avram Avinu in this world that came down again in his days to be the... He is called the Baal HaChai, the master, that's how he's known, the master of the Chai. What does it mean, the master of the Chai? The master of the levels of the soul called Chai and Yechida. We know the Neshama has five names to it. And that is Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama, Chai, and Yechida. These are various, now there's not just different names, these are referring to various different dimensions of the Neshama. Nefesh is the lowest element of the Neshama, there's Ruach, and Neshama, and then we have the level of Chai and Yechida. He is called the Baal HaChai and Yechida. Why is he called the Baal HaChai and Yechida? And the explanation is given is because he has the secret, he had the soul energy, and thereby the secret of how to reveal the levels of Chai and Yechida and make them accessible to a human being to integrate those enormous and incredible sublime levels of the soul to be able to draw that down, that a person should be able to utilize these very, very, very sublime levels of his own soul in his Avodas Hashem, in the service of Hashem. That which that's which all the other tzaddikim were not as they didn't have that power. That's why the second Chabad Rebbe, Rebbe Dov Ber, the Mittler Rebbe, known as the Mittler Rebbe, explains the reason why he was the teacher of the Baal Shem Tov. And he explains something really, really fascinating. And he says like this, we know that before the Baal Shem Tov, there was also great revelations of Pnimius HaTorah. And they were primarily two individuals. One of them is the Holy Arizal, Rabbi Yitzchak Luria. And then, prior to that, we have the Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Now, the teacher of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai and the teacher of the Arizal was both Eliyahu Hanavi. Eliyahu Hanavi taught the Rashbi, and he taught the Arizal, the Pnimiyas HaTorah, the esoteric elements of the Torah. However, being that the primary teachings of both the Arizal and Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai was the esoteric, the inner parts of the Torah, but only the inner elements of the Torah, what we call Seder Hishtalshalus. Seder Hishtalshalus means the godly progression into creation. Meaning, they revealed the godly, the inner soul of creation, the godly energy that is, or the levels of godliness that have already manifest themselves into creation. But godliness that is higher than creation, they didn't occupy themselves that much, hardly anything in their writings about Elokus and the godliness that is higher than the Seder Hishtalshalus, meaning God himself, before he transmits himself, contracts himself to the creation. It is for that reason that their teacher was Eliyahu Hanavi, and Eliyahu Hanavi is connected to Naran, Nefesh Ruach Neshama. And that's why he taught them, because Nefesh Ruach Neshama is that part of the Neshama that is invested in the body. Similar to the godliness, within a cosmic scale, just like the human being, has the soul. And there's only the lower part of the Neshama that clothes itself in the body. The higher parts of the Neshama remain above the body, and that's the Chai and the Yechida. They're called the Ur Makif, the encompassing light. So too on an encompassing scale, so too on a cosmic scale, the world, all the worlds in general are called the body, and Hashem is called the Neshama to that body. The Nefesh Ruach Neshama of Hashem, so to speak, becomes the energy of Seder Hishtalshalus, of the inner, of the light that enters in the creation. God himself, the energy that is higher than creation, is referred to as Chai Yechida. Being that the Arizal and the Rashbi did not reveal those levels of godliness, that's why their teacher was Eliyahu Hanavi, who was the master of Nefesh Ruach and Neshama. However, since the Baal Shem Tov came to prepare the world for Mashiach, and he came to reveal to the world Pnimiyas HaTorah, not just the secrets of the Torah, but the secrets of the secrets, he came to reveal to the world even the Eibishter himself, the Yizgalus of Atzmus himself, of God's very self to the creation. That's why he can only receive it from the one who is the Baal HaChai of Chai and Yechida. And that is the reason why he revealed himself dafka to the Baal Shem Tov. Just a short little story. People know this, but it's something that is very insightful to learn before we begin learning the Torah of Baal Shem Tov. And that is that Reb Adam Baal Shem, who was Baal Shem Tov living in the town of Rupshitz. And this was in the days of the Baal Shem Tov. It was a great mystic and a great hidden tzaddik. So he was communicating with the Baal Shem Tov. And he was trying very strongly to advise the Baal Shem Tov that he must reveal himself. Because the Baal Shem Tov was a hidden tzaddik, and he was very reluctant to reveal himself. So in one of the letters that he writes to him, he says to him that, I've heard from my teacher, because he also studied with Achia HaShiloini. And he said, our teacher, Achia HaShiloini, revealed to me the source of your soul, of who you are, he said to the Baal Shem Tov. And he said, it is known that there was a tzaddik, he said, who lived in Tzfas in the year 1573, Shnas Sheleg, in that era, and I guess it's the era of the Arizal, who was a very, very, in the beginning of his life, he was a very simple Jew, didn't know how to learn nothing. The only thing that he knew was how to daven, how to pray. He was a very simple Yid, and he davened, but he was a God-fearing man. One day he had a knock at the door one evening, and when he went to answer the door, he asked who it is, and the person said that he's Eliyahu Hanavi. That's a nice guest. So he opens up the door for Eliyahu Hanavi, and he says, welcome, Eliyahu. And as soon as Eliyahu HaNavi came in, there was such light in the house. There was such joy and happiness, as it is described, that everybody in the house felt it. And even the little babies in the crib started dancing. That's what it says. And they're jumping up and down. And I'm feeling this incredible light and energy. So, of course, he invited Eliyahu HaNavi to sit down. And Eliyahu HaNavi said, and he asked him, like, what do I owe the honor that you're here? Eliyahu HaNavi said, I came to teach you the highest and deepest mysteries of the Torah. But he said, in one condition, that you're going to reveal to me what you did on the day of your bar mitzvah. You're going to reveal, tell me, you did something very special on the day of your bar mitzvah, which I'm very curious to know, because as a result of that, you caused such a commotion in heaven that they decreed that I should come study with you. You know, this doesn't happen to everyone, that I study with them. And it was because of what you did on your bar mitzvah. So this fellow said to Eliyahu HaNavi, I beg you pardon, he said, but I'm very sorry and I cannot tell you what I did on the day of my bar mitzvah, because what I did and what I do is only for Hashem's honor. And I don't do it so to impress other people. And whatever I do is only for the sake of Hashem. And therefore, and I said, this is my Kabbalah, meaning I had this taught to me by my father or whatever, that the things that we do should only be, Hashem should know, other people shouldn't know about it. And that is why I'm not going to teach you. I'm not going to tell you what it was. So Eliyahu HaNavi said, okay, and he disappeared. As a result of that, again, a tremendous commotion happened in heaven. And they said, look at this, unbelievable. A person was granted the opportunity to study with Eliyahu HaNavi, and he was willing to give all that up in order that he should not, that whatever he did was between him and God, and it was not for public display and for others to see. It was so sincere and so real. And they were so impressed by this. They were so taken by this in heaven that they decreed that Eliyahu HaNavi should come back again and learn with him without him having to divulge his secret to Eliyahu. And that he would even to Eliyahu HaNavi, he wouldn't say it. That was so amazing. So they decreed that he should come back and learn with him. It wasn't like he said, okay, you're Eliyahu, so I'm going to tell, but don't tell anybody. He didn't do that. He kept it. So Eliyahu HaNavi came and learned with him. And of course we can understand that with learning with Eliyahu HaNavi, knowing all this, this person grew into an enormous tzaddik, but outwardly no one knew about it. Outwardly he remained as simple as he was before, and no one noticed any change. And he lived the rest of his life serving Hashem in the highest way, no one knew about it. When he passed away, this neshama was so exalted and at such a high level that this neshama entered into the Heichal in Gan Eden, of the others, of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. He was placed in their chamber. That was his place. However, the Melitze Yosher, the Malachim, who speak good and are there to sing the praises of the soul and reveal, they were demanding that even this reward was too little for him. For an neshama that served Hashem with such tznius, with such modesty, and on such a high level, and never no one knew about it, deserves even a greater reward. As a result of that, they decreed that this neshama should come back into this world and should illuminate the whole world and should be the opening door for the days of Mashiach. And this time he must reveal himself to the world. And he said, and this is your neshama. This is who you are. And that's why it's not going to help. It's the tikkun. It's what your neshama must do. He said to the Baal Shem Tov. He never met the Baal Shem Tov, but he wrote to him in a letter that it's your job and you need to reveal yourself to the world. Now, if we know that, going back to what we said before, that Achia Shaloini was in a Gilgul of Avram Avinu, so we can understand that Avram Avinu, the first of all neshamas, was the one who had the deepest connection to Hashem on the level of Chai and Yechida, and that neshama was told this week in the parasha, Lech Lecha, go forth, reveal your light to all of creation, that everybody should know that light, which means the innermost of Elokus, the innermost of Hashem, should be revealed to the world. It was revealed, as we said earlier, Achia Shaloini was the Gilgul of Avram Avinu, taught and gave over the innermost secrets to the Holy Baal Shem Tov. The Holy Baal Shem Tov's teachings found its most comprehensive book that would reveal it in the writings of the Tanya, where the writings of the Tanya brought the teachings of the Baal Shem Tov in a way that every single person can understand it. And everybody can learn. Like it is said about the Sefer of Tanya, that Sefer of Tanya is like the Chumash. It is the written Torah Shebiksav of Chassidus. So it's like a Chumash. Just like the Chumash, every single person can understand it. Even a little child can read the Chumash and understand it. But no one understands it. The same is also the book of Tanya. It's written in a way that every single person can understand, but at the same time, no one can ever grasp its depth. That's why you can learn it again and again and again and again, and always see more and more and more, and it's endless insight. The other very unique thing about, before we start learning inside, about the book of Tanya, is one thing, is something very special, and that is that up to the Tanya, the mystical elements of the Torah was only available and accessible to very unique individuals. Only people who had a very, very high neshama, number one, started off with a very high neshama. And not only that, but they also refined their body to the utmost refinement, and meaning by completely purifying and purging all negativity from their body, and by removing themselves from any kinds of physicality, which came about through the many, many fasting that early tzaddikim used to do in order to completely extract themselves from the coarseness of the physical. So it was these tzaddikim that had the ability to experience and to feel, to study Pnimiyas HaTorah. Everybody else, it wasn't accessible to them. Which means that if someone in the early days, who was of a coarse person, lacking in the refinement of character, and even if he had refinement of character, but he didn't possess a very, very lofty neshama, so even if he would discover in some cave the writings of the Arizal or the writings of the Zohar, he can read it, but not in any way connect to the godliness, to the light that is in it. The chiddush, the novelty of the book of the Tanya is that Tanya bridged the gap. What the Tanya did was he captured godliness in its most purest form, elokus, literally godly, the real godliness that is higher than any comprehension, higher than any understanding. He was able to capture it into the world of intellect and bring it down not only into the intelligence of the godly soul, but he was able to draw it down that it should enter into the intelligence of our human intelligence, so low that even someone whose mind is very animalistic, very coarse, even someone who has a very lowly neshama, and someone who did not rectify himself at all, meaning someone who's a very indulgent person in physical things, so he's a very coarse individual, even that person should be able to process these lofty, abstract, godly ideas, understand it, and really connect to them. And this can fire up their neshama. So Tanya has the power to reach our neshama, call forth the essence of our soul, reveal it, and reveal all the powers of our neshama in a very, very open, powerful way. So this is what we're going to, Be'ez Hashem, start learning now, and we're going to begin with the tradition when we learn Tanya is to study the first opening page, where it's not yet the book itself, but it's a little short description that the author himself has written, the author, Reb Shneur Zalman of Liadi, when he wrote the book, he wrote a short description right at the beginning, describing what the book is all about. So we're going to learn that short description, and then we're going to go on to the Tanya itself. Okay, so we begin like this. Sefer Lakutei Amar. Now, I just want to mention something. The first time the book was printed was in 1795. In the days, the Baal HaTanya printed it, had it all printed in his days. And initially, the book was a collection of writings that he wrote down from the things that he had, answers that he had given to Hasidim. When people would come in and ask advice on how to serve Hashem, he would give them various different advice. And the advice, later he decided, being that the Hasidim were coming by droves, thousands upon thousands, and there wasn't enough time to spend with each one of them and to answer all their questions, so he decided to take it all the etzes and all the hadracha, which means all the advice and all the direction and guidance, put it into one book that will answer every question that a person can possibly have. Matters that regards to their inner neshama, and their matters of their inner connection with Hashem. So that's why he called the book as follows. Let's read. Sefer Likutei Amarim. It's a sefer of collection of sayings. Now we can understand why it's called a gathering of sayings. Sayings, because these were initially, these were things that he didn't write, but that he spoke. When people came to him, he would give them advice. And that's why they were called a gathering of sayings. He also called Likutei a gathering, emphasizing that there's nothing really new over there. It's just a gathering. I'm just gathering things from that are known already, that I've received from my teachers, as he's going to say. Which that, of course, he said because of his great humility, that he didn't add anything new. Which, of course, the Tanya is full of many, many, many innovations and a lot of creativity. But nevertheless, he writes it's just a gathering. Chelek Rishon. This is the first chelek, the first part of the book, Hanikra b'shem Sefer shel Beinanim, which is called the book of the Beinanim. It's called the book of the intermediaries. What does it mean it's the book of the intermediaries? Because the main point of the Tanya is it's addressing average people, ordinary people. It's not meant necessarily only for the great and spiritual people and very, very holy people. It's meant to every single person. Because the Gemara, we know, says that there are three types of people. There are tzaddikim, which are the righteous and saintly people. Then there are rishayim, there are wicked people. And then there are beinanim, which are the average people. Now, as we're going to learn in Tanya, that tzaddikim, which are saintly people, are something that is not necessarily accessible to every person. Not every person can be a tzaddik, which was one of the great novelties of the Tanya, because up to the Tanya, many people were striving to be a tzaddik, and they were miserable because since they did not really understand what a tzaddik means, and they were hitting a certain ceiling, a certain point where they couldn't pass, and as a result of that, it gave them a lot of heartache, unnecessary heartache. What the Tanya came along and he explains is, as we're going to see soon in Tanya, that the level of tzaddik is something that is, you have to be a tzaddik, you have to be born with a certain capacity of soul to be a real tzaddik. And that's why it's something that you should not strive, that people should not strive for if they can't get to. But the level of beinani, which as we're going to see soon, is very, very, very high on its own, that is, however, accessible to every person. And every person should strive to be the beinani. Rishayim, wicked, is definitely not something we should be shooting for. We ought to try to be a beinani. So that's what the book over here is made for. It's made for average people, for all of us. We can all attain the level of beinani. And that's what the book is about, to describe the derech av avoida, the way of serving of a beinani. Now this book, he continues, Melukit, now the Sefer Shel Beinanim is primarily the name of the first part of the book, Chelek Aleph, that has 53 chapters. Second part, which we were learning previously, Shar HaYichud V'Emunah, is not called Sefer Shel Beinanim. It's called the Shar HaYichud V'Emunah, the gateway of unity and Emunah and faith. And then there's Ageras HaTshuva, which is the letter of repentance of Baal Tshuva. But this is the book of the Beinanim. Melukit Mipi Svarim. Now this is, these teachings that I'm teaching over here, he says, is gathered Mipi Svarim, from the writings of books. I have taken these ideas from books, traditionally known by Hasidim, that who are the books that he's referring to? He's referring to the books of the Maharal of Prague and the writings of the Shulah HaKadosh, Rabbi Shaya Horowitz. These two great writings of the Maharal and the Shulah HaKadosh, these were his basic books from where he derived his ideas, his philosophy. And Mipi Seifrim, it's also from scribes. From books and from scribes. Kedoy Sheyalyan, Mipi Seifrim Kedoy Sheyalyan, from scribes of the supernal holy, very holy beings, the Shmasa Eden, whose souls are in Gan Eden. Who is he referring to as scribes? Referring to his teachers, meaning the holy Baal Shem Tov and the holy Mezritcha Magid. Some say also the Malach, the Reb Mendel of Vitebsker, and the holy Malach, Rabbi Avraham HaMalach. So it's these mainly his teachers. Of the Hasidic masters that were before him, those were the scribes through which he took these ideas and further developed them in the book of Tanya. Now, what is the purpose of this book? What am I leading? What do I want? What is this supposed to be, what is this based on? What do we want to accomplish over here? Miyusad al pasuk, this is all based on the verse. Ki kadev eilecha hadav ma'oin b'ficha b'vavcha la'asoysoy. That it is very close to you, the matter, in your mouth and in your heart, la'asoysoy, in order for you to do this. The pasuk in Parashas Nitzavim, where it says, don't think that the Torah is distant, don't think it's far from you, ki ha'mitzvah hazois, this mitzvah that I am commanding you. And as the Mefarshim explained, that this refers to all the mitzvahs. The mitzvah that I am commanding you is very close to you. Moshe says it's very close to every single Jew, each and every one of you. Beficha, in your mouth. Bilvavcha, in your heart. La'asoso, to do it. What does this mean? So, okay, now we understand. It mentions three things: your mouth, your heart, and doing. So we can say it's referring to the three modes of expression, of a human expression. All of Torah and mitzvahs involve either action, an act that we need to do, like giving tzedakah, or speech, which is saying blessings, or studying Torah, which we do with our mouth, or bilvavcha, which can relate to thought, which are the mitzvahs that are connected to thought, that we're supposed to think, the things that we need to be, that know in our mind, so to speak, in our thought, believe in Hashem and so forth, which are more related to the thought element in the person. However, the word belvavcha means actually deeper than that. Not only thought, but belvavcha means heart. And heart represents the emotional element within the human being, the emotions. So he says, my book is based on this verse. What is it in this verse that I'm coming to explain? What is hard to understand over here? He says, what is difficult to understand, lavar hetev, so to my book over here is coming to explain well, eichu karev ma'oy, how is this very close? How is it very close, particularly to your heart? Which means like this. It's one thing to say that it is doable, it is something that is achievable. If a person wants to and he desires, you could do all the mitzvahs. Doesn't mean it's necessarily so easy, but you could do it. You could overcome your yetzahara, you can overcome your evil inclination, and you can give tzedakah. You can overcome your evil inclination, you can get up in the morning and go daven. Overcome the yetzahara, it's laziness, or you can overcome the temptation and not do this particular sin that maybe your yetzahara, the evil inclination, desires to do. So that's dealing with the realm of action and the realm of speech. However, when it comes to heart, which means your feelings, the verse is saying it's very accessible to every single person to serve God with his heart. Heart meaning not only do you do the mitzvahs, but that you're in the mood of doing it. You're excited about doing it. You have love and fear of God. Now he says that seems to be, doesn't ask the question so much over here, but he elaborates later on the question. So he says the serving Hashem with our heart, meaning that our emotion should kick in, that we should feel. We should feel that our Yiddishkeit shouldn't just be mechanical, shouldn't just be external, but it should be something that involves our inner spirit, our inner heart. That seems to be a neged achushalanu. It's against our sensitivity, our feelings. Because generally it's like this. To perform mitzvahs and do them indeed, again, as we said before, no problem. Our feelings, our emotions, are generally more of our physical emotions. Our fire, our passion, is generally more tagashmias, the physical things. So we overcome our passion, we overcome our unholy fears and our unholy loves, and we serve Hashem despite all of that. However, the challenge that Moshe Rabbeinu, or what Moshe is saying, is that it's easy for you to, or accessible and doable to every single Jew, to have a feeling of, to have passion in serving Hashem, to have love, to have fear. He says that needs explanation. How is that? So the main point of the book of Tanya is to enable us to access and to connect, to open up our, to enable us to feel, to have an emotional relationship with Hashem, to feel a fire and an excitement when we serve Him. Now, how is that possible? What is the secret? What is He going to teach in Tanya? So the main idea is that the point of what he's going to do in Tanya is he's going to make us familiar with our neshama, with our soul. And our soul has love of Hashem. Our soul has fear of Hashem. Problem is that the soul remains hidden and concealed. So there is a dimension of our being, of who we are, that we're not aware of, that we're not in touch with. And the point of the whole book of Tanya is to bring out our neshama, to open up our soul, that we should feel our soul. And so that's what he's saying. He's coming to explain Eichu Karev Ma'od, how it is close, and he's going to do this Bederech Arucha Uktzara, in a long, short way. Be'ezras Hashem Yizbarach. So what does he mean by this? That he's going to teach this in a long, short way. Now, where do we find these words, a long, short way? This is something that is already this is a term that we find in the Talmud, in the Gemara. The Gemara says in Masechtas, I think it's Masechtas Erevin, Daf Yud Gimel, that Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya said that there was only one time, two times he says, that someone was able to outsmart me. Two times, he says. He was known as a very, very, very wise person. And he says, one incident was a young child. I came to a city, and I asked the child which way, I was out there, it was different roads, I asked the child standing by the crossroads, which way is the way to the city? How do you get to that city? So he said, there's two ways. He said, one of them is a long, short one, and the other one is the short, long one. So I said, show me the short, long one. That's the short one. So he said, that's the short, long one. So I took that way, because it was the shortcut. So when I came very quickly to the city. But when I got there, I realized that there were vineyards, and there were fields, and there were private property, and there was no trespassing, and I couldn't get to the city. And I tried to go here, and I tried to go there, and I was running back and forth for a while until I gave up. So I came back to the crossroad, and I said to the boy, I said, why'd you tell me that that's the short way? He said, didn't I tell you? It's the short, long way. It's the way that takes you very quickly to the city, but it's long, because till you'll figure out once you're there how to really get in, it'll be very difficult. He says, this way is the long, short way. It's a longer way, but it takes you very clearly when you get to the opening in the city, and you're able to walk it. So the Tanya is saying about his book, that his book, his method, and what he is teaching us is a long, short way. It's not a shortcut. It's a long way, meaning to say that it's not the easiest quick fix. The studying of Tanya is not going to give us any instant high. It's not here. Which he is really contrasting this to other styles of even Hasidus, where people, where there are certain ways where a person can inspire himself and get himself excited and awaken his neshama through doing certain methods that are very easy and quick, much quicker than the teachings of the Tanya, than the way the Tanya teaches. But the problem with that is that we can cause ourselves to flare up, to fire up very quickly, but just as quickly as the soul flares up, it disappears, the inspiration is gone, and the person is left with all their negative, impure, unholy elements in their soul, their aspects of their nefesh abahamis, of their animal soul, that are just as unholy and as dark. So you have a momentary flare-up of kedusha, of holiness, but then it evaporates. So it's like when a person isn't feeling well, there's two ways of healing it. You can take a Tylenol, and it takes your headache away. Or you can go and look for the core of the problem. Why do I have headaches? Once in a while the Tylenol is good, but if the headache keeps on coming back, it's the way to take care of it is not through Tylenol. The way to take care of it is go figure out what exactly is the problem. And maybe you need to change your diet, and maybe you have to start eating healthy and start doing various different things and do various different therapies in order to heal the inner problem. And that's what the book of Tanya is all about. It's not a quick fix. It's not giving us a quick Tylenol to quiet down the unholy desires. It's a very thorough path involving very deep introspection. It calls for a person to work very hard. It employs the mind. A person needs to, the way of Tanya is he introduced a method of serving Hashem called Chabad. Chabad meaning you use your intellect. You study, you learn, you research You study, you learn godly concepts. It takes a very long time to really comprehend. After you comprehend, you have to do thorough meditation. As a result of the thorough meditation, slowly but surely, you begin to introduce these concepts, these godly ideas, into your heart, into your emotional strata, into the emotional level in the person, till the emotions slowly are elevated from their earthy, unholy state. They begin to relate and to feel a connection to its spirituality and godliness. So it's takes a very, very long time. But when it happens, it's thorough and it's complete. So it's a long way, but it's really the shortest way. As opposed to going the other way, where you go and you go and you go and you circle and you circle and you circle, and you're not really getting anywhere. That's the uniqueness of this book. Okay. So that's the idea of what he does. He says, "Bederach arucha uktzara." This is the long and short way. And as he concludes, and he says, "Be'ezras Hashem Yisbarach." Now, the meaning of "Be'ezras Hashem Yisbarach" is two things. First of all, I am writing this "Be'ezras Hashem Yisbarach." I am writing this with the help of Hashem. But the other meaning of "Be'ezras Hashem Yisbarach" is once someone hears that this is the long, short way. So right away he's telling you that this is not a quick fix. This is a long way that I'm going to need you to work with me, he says. This is going to take your own work. This is not going to happen quickly. You're going to have to use your mind and you're going to have to meditate. So some people might think right away, okay, so this Tanya class is not for me because I'm kind of lazy and I'm not into really working hard. I'm into quick. Give me something inspiration. We're living in an instant generation. Instant access, instant coffee, instant high. So give me something quick to fire up my soul. So he says, Be'ezras Hashem Yisbarach. If you're going to try, and if you only put yourself to it, Hashem is going to help you. So the Be'ezras Hashem Yisbarach is referring to God's help to us. That anybody who takes this book and says, I want to study, and I want to learn, and I want to completely elevate my entire existence and bring myself to a deeper connection to Hashem, so Hashem will help us accomplish that. Okay, so let's at least learn the first word in the first chapter. Perek Aleph. Okay, here we are. Tanya, we learned in a Braisa. We learned in a Braisa is like a sub-Mishnah. We're going now to the Perek Aleph. B'Soif Perigimu de Nida. In the end of the third chapter of Masechtas Nida, Mashbi Enoisoi, they beswear the soul. They make the soul take an oath before the neshama comes down, before the baby is born. See, while the fetus is in the mother's womb, the soul doesn't really manifest itself yet in the body. It's before the baby, right before the baby is born, that's when the neshama enters. So at that point, in the heavenly realms, heavenly court or whatever it is, place an oath on the neshama, and they say to him as follows: "Tehi tzaddik, you should be a tzaddik, va'al tehi rasha, and you shouldn't be a rasha, and don't be a wicked person." That's the first instructions. They tell the neshama, strive to be a tzaddik, don't be a rasha, don't be wicked. And then, va'fil lo kol ha'olam kulay oimrim l'cha tzaddik ato, and even if the entire world tells you that you are a tzaddik, heye b'enecha ka rasha, you should be in your own eyes like a rasha, like a sinner. So the first part of the advice is in regards to our behavior, what we ought to do and what we ought not to do. We ought to try to be a tzaddik. However, the second part is how we should view ourselves. While we are living and alive in this world, how should we see ourselves? So it's telling us that we should always assume ourselves as being a rasha and not a tzaddik. Okay, that's a quote from Masechtas Nida. Now, interesting, the point, I just want to make something clear, the point of this class is really not going to be to give all kinds of insights into the various different perushim and explanations that there are in the book of Tanya. That's really not. It's trying to teach Tanya in the most simplest form possible, in a way that is understood by everybody. So we're going to leave out a lot of the more Kabbalistic explanations and so forth. That's not what the idea of the class is. The idea of the class is to make the Tanya as simple and as personal and applicable to our lives as possible. Okay. But there is just something very, very important over here in the first opening of the word Tanya. Because really, this statement in the Gemara Masechtas Nida is not a brisa. It's brought down in the name of Rab Simloi, Darash Rab Simloi, Rab Simloi Darshan, who was not a brisa. Brisa means it comes from the Mishnah sages, the sage of the Mishnah. This is not. This is from Rab Simloi, who wasn't from the Mishnah. So why does he begin with the word Tanya as saying that it comes from a brisa? So the truth is, there is one girsa, there is one, according to one writings of the Gemara, it brings it as a Tanya, but that's not the common one. So he chose to put Tanya for a reason. So, and it's interesting that the book, even though the author didn't name it Tanya, the author named it Sefer Shel Beinanim, the book of the Beinanim, all the Kutei Amarim, the gathering of writings. However, the name that stuck to it was the name Tanya. In the second printing already, which is a few years after the first time it was printed, and the author was still alive, it was printed in Romania, in the city called Zalakov, I think. And over there, already they named it Tanya Kadisha, the Holy Tanya. I guess it spread so quick. He was in Russia, but it spread to Romania, and it was called it. So over there, the reason why the name, why is it called Tanya? Because it opens up with Tanya. But one of the explanations that are given is because, as we said earlier, Tanya is what opens, it reveals the neshama, it opens up the soul. Now the word Tanya, the Zohar says that the word Tanya, the reason why the Idra, Reb Shimon Bar Yochai also opened up the Idra, and he wrote the Idra also beginning with the word Tanya, and it says in the Zohar, and the reason for that is because the word Tanya, if you rearrange the letters, you get to the word Eitan, and Eitan means hard, firm, ancient, and old. The idea of the Tanya is that it evokes and it awakens the inner part of the soul that is Eitan, that is rock, hard, and firm, and ancient, which is the very essence of the soul. Because the outer parts of the soul develop as the neshama comes down. It develops and receives various different external elements. But the inner essence of the neshama has been for always, because it's one with Hashem. And that's why it's called ancient. And it's also solid, unbendable. The Tanya brings out the deepest inner strength of the Jew. And that's why it gives us such strength to serve Hashem. The other reason is, it says again, because there is, again, this is brought down in the writings of the Arizal, that there is a klipa, there is this force of negativity, this force of unholiness that is called Tanya, that's its name. And its main objective is it tries to prevent people from studying the inner parts of the Torah. It comes to people and says, you know what, why do you have to know that? It's stuck, why can't you be a good Jew without it? And it puts a block. It stands to stand against the coming of Mashiach. It tries to hold back people from studying the esoteric part of the Torah. And that is why the antithesis, once someone starts learning the Tanya, they become very open to learning the inner part. That feeling of like, oh, why, you know, that disappears. Because suddenly you realize you can study it, you can learn it. It's something that can add, that adds so much light to your life. And you begin to wonder, how is it possible to be a Jew and to serve Hashem without it? That's how integral it becomes. It's sort of just learning one or two chapters melts away all that klipa, all that darkness, and reveals the neshama and causes that klipa to dissipate. So Be'ezus Hashem, next week, Sunday, 10:30, we're going to continue. The point over here is that everybody should see to it to bring other people, let other people know, so we can have many possible benefits from Italia.
There are new parking rules in La Cienega. Right, so 2-hour meter parking.
Even on